everybody, and what a great morning we've had so far, and I believe it's going to get better as we continue in the Word and have opportunity to respond afterwards. Where is Jonathan and Alice? I just want to, let's just say thanks again. They're over from Toronto, but really appreciate that. Thank you for offering, thank you for asking, and thank you for bringing those songs we brought. I didn't know the first song, so I wrote down the line, "Everything comes alive in you, you make us new." And really, that's the theme of what I want to talk about today. So we'll get to that in a moment or two. Everything comes alive in you, you make us new. So I'm talking about the hope of the gospel, or renewal, being made alive, which is the hope of the gospel. So we're coming back to this theme again. We've just had a couple of very exciting Sundays. Had those 13 baptisms a couple of weeks ago. Pictures will be around this week, I believe. Is that right now, Malk? I think I saw a little notice along those lines. And that was exciting to see so many people here and to hear just extraordinary testimonies of what God has done in people's lives. And then we had the bishop from Manila last week. And that was an incredibly inspirational talk on the antidote to selfishness. And of course, you know, God is the opposite to selfishness. And he just gave everything so generously so that we could be saved and reconciled. And really, we're going to have a look at some of that today as we look at renewal, the hope of the gospel. So the gospel, which means good news. I assume people know that, but just in case you didn't, when we mention gospel, it's the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's so exciting because it is just that. It is the best news that we could ever hear or get hold of. There is no better news. I remember when I was at home and my JWs would knock on the door, my dad would answer the door, and he would say something along the lines, "If you've got a better message than what I've already got, I'll listen to you. But if it doesn't come up to that, then sorry, I'm not interested." And of course, it never came up to the incredible good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of forgiveness and salvation in him. That's why Paul could say, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." This doesn't seem to be on. "Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to all who believe." That's a bold statement to make. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God that brings salvation to all who believed. And we're not ashamed either. We are proud to proclaim and declare what Jesus Christ has done in our lives. I'm really pleased that Jim and Colin are picking up that an opportunity for us to connect and to get involved with the hundreds, the thousands which come into Reading. And we're looking to have an ongoing ministry of reaching out with the gospel in many different ways, because the people, the Reading, needs to hear this incredible news of Jesus Christ. This is what Pastor Caesar wrote in his new book. "Following Jesus means obeying his commandments." You like that bit, Jamie? Yeah? "It also means carrying on the work," which I think is also the same as obeying his commandments, actually. "But it also means carrying on the work that he did while he was on the earth. He gave his life to rescue humanity, and it is our duty and commitment to share that message of redemption with every person he places in our path." Say amen to that? It's our duty and our commitment to make him known. You see, Paul, when he describes himself, he says this of himself: "Being a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God." It's not there, is it? No, okay. "Set apart for the gospel of God." So Paul knew that that call was on his life. And I believe that for each one of us, there is a calling which sets us apart. That's what church means, by the way, ecclesia, set apart from the world to God. Set apart to proclaim and to make him known. Paul was called to proclaim this incredible gospel of hope. So there are three aspects we're looking at, and I really want us to understand this incredible hope that comes through the gospel. We looked at redemption the other day, we're looking at renewal today, and next week, hopefully, we'll be looking at restoration. So just briefly, quick look back at redemption, or the hope of redemption. What does that mean? It's an old-fashioned word, but it's emphasizing the fact that we've been bought with a price. We've been bought by Jesus Christ. We've been bought with his blood. All of those which have said yes to him have been purchased by his blood. What an incredible truth the hope of redemption brings. All our sins, all of that, those blockages which enabled us to be unable to reach God were dealt with because they've been forgiven and we've been saved by grace through faith. You know, the Jehovah Witnesses, the certain things which they have to do in order to be part of that number which get to heaven. But for us, Jesus has done it all. He has paid the price. It is simply believing and receiving. Amen? Isn't that good news? Better than what they can tell us. Not by works, not by culture, not by upbringing. The fact that you're born in a Christian home doesn't save you. You might be baptized or christened. That doesn't save you in itself. It's only through faith and belief in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we've been looking at the hope of the gospel, hope in the Bible, a strong and confident expectation of future reward. And I was thinking, so that's what Paul says, hope is for the future. You know, if you've received what you've hoped for, that's not hope. You've already got it. And I was thinking about redemption. We still have that hope. You see, before we were saved, the Bible says we were without God and without hope. Nothing to look forward to. Sometimes on my street pastor rounds, I meet people like that. Nothing to look forward to. They wonder what they're here for. They wonder what the purpose in life is. And so they think, well, let's just drink away another evening. But God gives us hope. And so there's hope for the future. There's hope for each one of us as we come to Jesus and receive that redemption, receive that new life. But you see, we've been redeemed, but we're going to be redeemed. There's still a hope to come. We've started to enjoy that new life now, but there's new life for the future. James touched on it. I think he said, you know, it's eternal life now, but eternal life goes on forever. That hope gets better and better. We've not received everything yet, but we're on the way. So there's still hope to come. It's the beginning of the good news, being born again, redemption. But I want to talk today about renewal. That's why I liked those songs which we started off with. Renewal, the hope of the gospel. You see, renewal is about new life. It's about, I want you to hear this, the future can be different from the past. It's not about taking the past with you wherever you go. That's not renewal. Renewal is new things are coming. And the past can be separated. The future can be received with hope and expectation because our hope in God is of a future, a confident expectation of future reward. So renewal can be, so our future can be different from the past because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Renewal is the outworking of being born again. You see, we could just never make ourselves good enough. We illustrated it the other day, didn't we? With, you know, God's standards right up there and ours are down here somewhere. We could never make ourselves good enough. The old has to go. The new has to come. We need to be born again. A miracle takes place in our lives. The old has gone, the new has come. Hallelujah. So we need to be born again. Where am I? It's about and renewal is about the outworking of being born again. Renewal is about change. Change in the heart leads to a change of behavior. And that's what the hope, the promise of renewal is about. God coming and doing a work in our hearts, which gets expressed and demonstrated in our actions. So I love this verse from Paul. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. That's what renewal is all about. Can I have an amen? Amen. Amen. This is the good news. The old has gone, the new has come. Everything has become renewed. Hallelujah, Sarah. But you say, Nev, it just doesn't always feel like that. You know, I gave my life to the Lord, but I'm still struggling with depression, or I'm still struggling with addiction, or maybe jealousy, or a bad temper in my life. You're saying, because the Bible says, so Paul's saying, that I'm a new creation, the old has gone, the new has come. So how can these things be? Well, I just want you to understand a couple of things here. Spiritually speaking, what I've said to you is totally true. You have left the kingdom of darkness and you have come into the kingdom of light. You are, which side is it? This side. You are a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. You've been born again. That little red arrow. You know, once you were in darkness, but now you're in light. Hallelujah. That's the salvation. That's redemption. That's the hope of the gospel. Once we were without God and in a mess, now we've been saved. Hallelujah. No doubt about that. The old life, see, baptism demonstrates that. The old life was buried in baptism and we raised in newness of life. But I want you to notice something. It takes longer for the natural to catch up with the spiritual. You see, the Holy Spirit is at work changing us from glory to glory. It's the work of renewal, it's sanctification, to be more like what we already are spiritually. Can you understand what I'm saying? So although the transaction has taken place in the heavenlies, we've been saved, and some of us know the date and some of us don't, but it doesn't matter. We've been saved once we were and now we're not. The Holy Spirit comes into our life, and there's a process which is kicked into being, and we are being changed from glory to glory. Hallelujah. The work of renewal starts in our life. So we're already saved, but we're being saved. Are you with me in this? We are already sanctified. We are already holy because of what Jesus has done, but we are still being sanctified. We're still being set apart for God. And one day, we'll be completely sanctified. Hallelujah. That's the hope of the gospel. That's the hope of the gospel. All of us are somewhere, if we've given our lives to the Lord, on that bottom line, somewhere. And as long as we're going in the direction of that arrow, it's all good. Just don't let the arrow go in the other direction. We need to be changed from glory to glory. And that's the hope which we have in our lives. Renewal is about the Holy Spirit. He is why change is inevitable. This is the amazing hope. When he comes, everything changes. If there's no change in your life, I want to say you've got to ask two questions. One, am I saved? Because when he comes, change is inevitable. You know, when a light is switched on in a dark room, change is inevitable. The room goes light. You can't have a light bulb switched on in a dark room and it remain dark. And that's the same for each one of us. Now, you know, that illustration beforehand, you know, that lightness needs to permeate right through, and there's an ongoing process in that. But the other question I'd ask is, are you being discipled? Because they're both crucial to ongoing change. Renewal or sanctification starts with salvation, starts when the Holy Spirit comes and begins the work of making you more and more like Jesus. But sometimes we get stuck. Sometimes we go backwards. Sometimes independence or pride raises their ugly heads in our lives, and we read the scripture or we hear a talk and we think, well, why should I accept that? You know, sometimes there are barriers and there are blockages to change. That's why encounters, got coming up in October, the next ones, are so, so important to help us break through from the past. And the Holy Spirit is still the answer to the change which needs to take place. But intentional discipleship will help the process. You see, discipleship works in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we just don't see it. You know, there's a light that needs to be turned on. Paul talks about unbelievers being blinded to the gospel. I think Christians are sometimes blinded to what God is saying and what God wants to speak and the changes which he wants to see in our lives. Sometimes we don't get it, but that's when sometimes a more mature person in the faith can help us. Here's an example. So we're talking about today the Holy Spirit wants to renew and he wants to change us. Because you're all good Christians and followers, you say, yes, amen, I agree. We love God. Yes, we pay our tithes. Even James has started paying his tithe now. Where are you, James? Thank you for that testimony. Brilliant. We catch the heart and the vision. We want to invite our friends to sell, and we love the worship. And then we want to go to the G12 conference, and we can't get a day off. They say no, but that's all right. I could take a sickie. That's all right. I'll take a sickie. Or maybe Friday night. Well, all our friends, they all go out every Friday night, and, well, I always have a few drinks too many. Or maybe, well, I love my girlfriend and she loves me, and of course, yes, we sleep together. And maybe we've just missed those gentle nudges of the Holy Spirit, either through what's being said or through the Word of God, or through just listening to Him. And then a cell leader comes alongside, and we love our cell leader, and he loves us, and he begins to challenge some of our behavior. And once we've got over that shock of somebody actually challenging us, very un-Western, isn't it? You're just questioning attitudes or actions. Once we've got over that shock, and we pray and we read the Word, we realize that there's still more in my life that needs to change. Are you with me? And so we repent. We realize that, well, sickies might have been all right when I was living in that kingdom of darkness. But now I'm a child of God. Honesty and integrity is what God is looking for. And if I can't come, I can't come. We realize that whilst it might be okay to have a glass of wine or a pint of beer, getting tipsy and drunk every Friday night is not glorifying to the Lord. That was my old life. And some have decided to make a decision, I'm not even going to touch the stuff again, because I want to glorify God in the way that I live. Holy Spirit and discipleship. Or while everybody else sleeps around with their boys and girlfriends and there's not an issue, I now realize that the Church of Jesus Christ, sex is for marriage, and therefore, well, I want to make that decision too, because I want to follow Jesus. And so, darling, until we get married, we've decided that we're going to refrain from sex and we'll look forward to that wedding night because we're disciples of Jesus. The Holy Spirit and discipleship working together helps sanctify us and brings us to the place. And we find, like James already said about the money side of things, there's a joy that comes in our heart. We would have thought we're missing out on Friday nights, but actually Saturday mornings are much better. And actually, I realize I don't need to do that. I don't need to live like that anymore. God's in my life. There's other things which are more creative, which I can be involved in. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's new life to enjoy and experience. God doesn't want to take away bad stuff to make us miserable. He wants to take away bad stuff to make us feel better. Because He's got a plan for our life. Hallelujah. So, discipleship, the work of the Holy Spirit, part of the process of sanctification, and this hope of renewal takes place in our lives. Just remember, the past can be so different to the future because He has a plan for you. I love this promise from Ezekiel. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. That's redemption. That is the transfer from darkness to light. But then he goes on, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. This is the promise of renewal. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This is our glorious hope, a new heart. A new spirit. Most of us can relate to what James said. Most of us, James G, when I say James, by the way, most of us can connect and think, so we want to hold on to our money, we want to hold on to this. But God wants to give us a new heart, where we want to give generously, where we don't want to be held by the strings of the past, but we put that to death, and we choose to give because it's in our hearts to give. A new heart and a new spirit. That stony, old heart, encrusted with years of hurt, of cynicism and mistrust, maybe rejection and betrayal, and we protect ourselves and we hold people at a distance. We even hold God at a distance. Don't want to get too connected, too involved, because somebody somewhere is going to let me down again. But that stony, cold heart is being replaced with a soft heart, a heart of flesh. And we find the desire to change isn't because of what somebody said at the platform here or wherever it might be. There's a desire in our hearts because he's written his laws and his desires in here. And so we find, well, actually, I want to follow. Actually, I want to give. Actually, I want to live a holy life. Actually, I want to be more like him. I want to catch his heart. I want to catch his dream. I want to spend time with him because that heart is being changed. No more, you must do this, you must do that. You've got to have your quiet time. You've got to pay your tithe. You've got to go to church. You've got to read your Bible. You've got to say your prayers. Nothing wrong with any of that. But that's external. And we need that instruction to help us. But then it comes on the inside. I want to pay my tithe. I want to spend time with God. I want to read my Bible. I want to pray. I want to worship. I want to meet with the church. I want to make him known. I want to fulfill his dream in my life. Amen. Do you get the difference? One's old covenant, one's new covenant. And the promise of renewal is that new covenant in our life. Religion full of laws and rules. The letter kills, but the Spirit brings life. Hallelujah. Here's a verse from the New Testament. Peter says this: we, talking about the church, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. He then goes on, through the sanctifying, notice the tense, through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, in effect to make us more obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. So that's just a verse just helping us understand that's an ongoing process which begins to take place in our lives. We are being changed. Well, we were changed from a sinner to a saint, but now it's from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Brighter and brighter for him as we choose to follow him. So intentional discipleship is important in that too. Just quickly, you know, Jesus chose 12 men. They weren't perfect men. They were far from it. But he believed in them. He taught them. He encouraged them. He loved them. He saw the potential. He saw the gold in their lives. And so he discipled them and helped them to fulfill the destiny God had called for them. And that's what he wants to do for each one of us. That's where discipleship and the Holy Spirit working together helps us fulfill that calling and that destiny which he has for us in our lives. Just one challenge on that. I heard Bishop Oriel say it either at the conference or last week. But you know, when we're talking about destiny and calling, it's God's destiny and God's calling for each of our lives. And that can be different. That can be doctors and businessmen and nurses and teachers and carers and whatever it might be, and cell leaders and pastors. But he said that calling, though, will always connect with God's calling. And if that calling doesn't connect with God's calling, we've got to ask some questions. Because God's got plans and purpose for each one of us, but it always connects with that bigger dream and purpose which God has for us as individuals and as a church. Would you agree with me? Amen. I'm nearly finished. Just want to talk about this good news again. Paul describes, oh, here we are, moving on a bit too fast there. This is the hope we proclaim, not just salvation, but we're changed through the gospel. Come as you are, you've heard us say before, but don't stay as you are. He has much better plans for your life. You know, everybody is welcome to come. Everybody's welcome in our cells. Everybody's welcome in the church. Come as you are with all different beliefs and behaviors and everything else. But the good news is you don't need to stay as you are because he's got a plan and a purpose for your life. And that's why I love this verse from 1 Corinthians 6. And it talks about those in the church there. And I'm just thinking, well, this could apply to the church here too. And he says, this is what you once were like. This is what Paul was saying to the church in Corinth. No different to you and me. He said to many of them, it wasn't all of them, but many of them, you know, were alcoholics. This is putting in our language. Or maybe they were prostitutes. Or maybe they were addicted to drugs or nicotine. They were sexually immoral. or they gossiped, or they were bad-tempered, or they were selfish. Well, we know what to do with that. We heard that one last week. But then Paul says, and this is what I just love, and that is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That's what they were. That's the old life. Don't take it with you. You can leave it all behind. And you become that new creation because of the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So I want to encourage everybody here today, wake up. I felt that was prophetic from the songs and what we said. Wake up, church. Have a look. See, there's a future out there. There's hope out there. Some of you might be struggling with some of those areas I've mentioned or other areas. But you don't have to take those struggles with you forever. God is the answer. Jesus comes, the Holy Spirit comes to bring change. He wants to replace that old, stony, cold heart and give you a warm, soft heart, which is warm towards the things of God. You can't do it yourself. It's impossible. It's a miracle that needs to take place. But when the Holy Spirit comes, that's the miracle which he starts. And we just need to give him place and space and, if you like, water, that water the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we'll begin to see abundant life, joy, peace, love, happiness beginning to flow in our lives. I don't think I have some keys or just music in the background, Keith. We'll begin to see that old thing which seems such a barrier in the past is letting go. That grip is weakening. That grip is weakening because the Spirit of God is changing me on the inside. Sure, it starts with repentance. That's a change of thinking. It starts with repentance and faith, and we're redeemed and we're saved and we receive salvation. That's the switch from light to darkness. But then as we open up and ask the Holy Spirit to continue that work in our lives, we find changes taking place. Do you know what one of the first things my family, my mum and dad anyhow, noticed after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit? It was just like an amazing experience I had. I started to offer to do the washing up. A teenager, 19-year-old, didn't like washing up. I started to, and they said, "What's up with our son? Something's changed." Now, you would have thought, and I would have thought, I mean, there were other things that took place as well, but that was the first thing which they noticed. Change at home, probably the first start, you know, that's where you notice where change really takes place. The Holy Spirit had come, a soft heart, a cold heart had been replaced with a softer heart, and for the first time, really, I wanted to help, rather than, "It's your turn, you're on the rotor, are you going to do it?" See, you don't always see it yourself, but other people begin to see when God's at work in our lives. Change is inevitable because of this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Can we stand together? I'd like us to pray. It's a free gift which he has for each and every one of us. I'd like to pray, and then I'm going to ask you to repeat a prayer after me. Lord, I want to thank you for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit, which brings life, which changes life. I want to thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've humbled yourself, just like Jesus, but you've humbled yourself and left heaven to come and live in our hearts. Hearts which don't get it right all the time, hearts which make mistakes, hearts which want to change, but you've come to reside in men and women that are imperfect. And I just want to say, Holy Spirit, thank you for coming. And I want to ask you to release your power more and more in our lives, that we'll see greater change and greater glory, giving glory to God. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to ask you, please, just to pray this prayer after me together. Lord, thank you for this amazing gospel. Thank you for renewal, the hope of the gospel. I ask you, in all my sinfulness and hopelessness, to come into my life, Give me the power to turn away from the old way of living and to live wholly for you. Wash away my sin. Make me clean in your sight. I receive your forgiveness. Fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And as we've prayed that prayer together, there may be somebody here, say this most weeks, but somebody's prayed it, well, for the first time and meant it. You might have said it before, but it didn't really mean so much. But you really want to give your life to Jesus today. You really want him to come and change you. Not just for heaven, I mean, that's the best ever, but even now. If anybody would like to just give their life or recommit their life to the Lord, just raise your hand so that I can see you. We'd like to give you some literature. We'd like to, thank you. Want to give you literature, want to help you on this journey. Thank you. There's three people there. Hallelujah. Four people. Hallelujah. 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 Let's just applaud the Lord.